got color in your cheeks? Do you ever get that feel that you can't shift the tide that sticks around like summits in your teeth? Are there some aces up your sleeve? Have you no idea that you're in deep? I dreamt about you nearly every night this week. How many secrets can you keep? Cause there's this tune I found that makes me think of you somehow when I play it on repeat. Until I fall asleep, spilling drinks on my settee.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Let the theme song drag out a little bit long there, but oh well, I love this song, so why not? This is the third episode of the second season of Sports with Carney. Your host, as always, Logan Carney here, or the award-winning Sports with Carney, I should add in. I'm joined in the radio room today with Matthew Kurtick, saying his name out long, goes by Matt. If you listen to some of my other shows, you will recognize him from the Tool Shed. That is on Tuesdays at 7. So be sure to check that out. Or 7:15, I should add. 7:15 to be more exact. But, you know, there's a show before it, so you can tune into that show too. But that's not us. No, you don't have to if you don't want to. But anyway, I'd like to thank you all for joining in for the third episode of the second season of Sports with Carney. Once again, I'm your host, Logan Carney. And we got a mostly pirate episode today. You know, I like to get a little bit of a mixture in, usually, to discuss everything. But with Steelers having their offseason, me not really caring much about the Olympics or the Penguins, maybe we'll get into a little bit of that talk if we run out of time. But we're going to talk. The Pirates made their first good move of the offseason. In case you didn't hear, they traded for Corey Dickerson from the Tampa Bay Rays while giving up Daniel Hudson and Tristan Gray, as long as some cash considerations. And Matt, you know, I'm looking at this deal, and I think it's a very, very good trade. Like, I'm not gonna undercut it. I think this deal, it improves, because Corey Dickerson, you know, is as tough it is to say. From a fan perspective, he's not McCutcheon, and he will never be McCutcheon. But from a talent perspective, in terms of last year's numbers, in terms of what they're probably going to do this year, he is better than McCutcheon, in my opinion. He was an all-star last year. 27 homers, .280 batting average, and he was, you know, arguably the best player in the Rays lineup last year.
Yeah.
So, Matt, what are your thoughts on this trade?
I really like it. You got that the lefty batter in our short PNC Park right field, only 320 down the line. So it'll be nice to see some power hitting lefties in our lineup. We've kind of been lacking that recently with Gregory Polanco being injured, it seems, most of the year. But I really like it. And I wasn't a big fan of Daniel Hudson. I kind of thought that he was
the fact
sporadic.
That they were able to get rid of Daniel Hudson too improves the bullpen.
I don't know.
Daniel Hudson was horrible. That signing made absolutely no sense for the amount of money that they gave him at the time.
Yeah.
He had one decent year in the bullpen. Absolutely horrible. You still could have had Jared Hughes for less money, you know, for about $1 million left, less, who is for just as good as a reliever. And yet you signed Daniel Hudson. That was one of the big problems last year with the Pirates. And I still think the biggest issues with the Pirates are the past, you know, 2 years when they've been struggling. It's not so much that the team, I mean, obviously the team not filling obvious holes, like the hell they didn't trade for an outfielder or a third baseman last year with Jung Ho Kang gone and Marte suspended, and they didn't make a move. Obviously that's part of the problem. That's one of the bigger reasons of why they didn't contend. But one of the biggest things with the Pirates is their key players have been so underperforming the past 2 years. McCutcheon had a very down last 2 years. Even last year, he improved offensively and didn't put up the MVP McCutcheon numbers that we're used to, but still put up good numbers offensively. It was horrible in the outfield. I believe he was worth negative 2 years ago, I think he was worth negative 20 runs. in the outfield. Worst, statistically, the worst defensive player in the outfield.
Yeah, people don't really.
In the MLB, sorry, not just the outfield, in all of the MLB, he was the worst defensive player. And last year, he was just as bad in defensively. Gerrit Cole has been struggling lately the past 2 years too. So, you know, Matt, I mean, what would you give? You know, this move now. My grade for the Pirates up until this move was an F for the offseason. What was your grade before the Dickerson move? What is your grade after the Dickerson move? And do you think this team can actually contend for, you know, they probably won't contend for the division, but do you think they can actually contend for maybe a wild card spot this year?
I think that I agree with you. I mean, I'm not going to say F. I'm going to say more of like a D, D minus. We didn't make any moves to make our team better. In most cases, we made our team worse by trading away two of our most valuable assets.
Yeah, but the past 2 years, they haven't been good.
Yeah.
I don't think the team got worse by any means. The team may not have gotten that much better.
Well, yeah.
But the team definitely did not get worse because Cole and McCutchen, while they're big names and while they have the potential to be two of the best players in the league, neither one of them was in the top 100 for MLB this year.
That's the problem. We keep talking about
they're not star McCutchen. Players anymore.
We talked about McCutchen and Cole like they're these really great all-star players as soon as we trade them, but little did we know that Gerrit Cole had a pretty underwhelming season last year, and if McCutchen doesn't pick it up, you know, halfway through the season and puts out the numbers that he did before the end of the season, then he's one of the, you know, worst outfielders that we have on our team. But definitely this Dickerson trade, I'm still not going to give the Pirates anything big, maybe like a C now, because like I told you earlier, we're the only team in baseball that hasn't signed a major league free agent. Even teams that are terrible, like the Braves and the Marlins, have done so. So that's why I still rate them as a C, but it could get better just depending on who they decide they want to sign. And if they keep making these little trades that might not seem like a big deal, they might end up working out for us in the long run.
Yeah, I mean, I got to agree with you. My grade for them was an F before this deal, but I am going to upgrade it to at least a D+. I'm still going to give them a D+, because I still don't like the Cole trades. I still think they could have gotten more for Gerrit Cole at least.
Yeah, I
probably
think so
would
too.
Not have gotten more from McCutchen because he's past his prime. He hasn't had the best numbers, but I would have kept McCutchen. But this Dickerson trade does improve the offense. It does improve the offense, as difficult that is to be. And the offense was horrible last year. I think they were 28th in the league in run creation. The offense was horrible last year, and that's something they need to improve. But the biggest thing going forward for the Pirates, it's not so much the moves that they make. And yes, they need to make some more moves. The bullpen right now is still very questionable outside of Felipe Rivera. So very questionable outside of Rivera. Getting rid of Hudson is a step in the right direction because Hudson is not a good pitcher.
I think he was terrible, and Hurdle kept putting him out in situations where the game mattered, and he kept blowing it every time.
I mean, what did he have, 4.84 ERA? I mean, he was just, Daniel Hudson is just not a good pitcher. He's just not.
What did Hakeem Benoit's ERA end up being last year? Because he was by far the worst reliever that we had.
I don't know, but he is also not gone. That was a one-year deal, thankfully.
Thankfully, because he was absolutely terrible.
As far as it goes, though, the bullpen is still suspect. I mean, they have a lot of young pitchers in their bullpen, so maybe in a couple years this team can be like they were when they made, you know, three playoff appearances in a row from 2013 to 2015. So maybe they can. And then the thing that still lacks from this Pirates is the lack of a star player. And, you know, they have a lot of great complementary pieces. If you get one star player in this lineup, this team can make a playoff appearance. They probably won't win the division. They're not a better team than the Cubs. They're not.
No.
And now, if the Cubs play like they did last year, then maybe they can win the division, but I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't know. They got Yu Darvish, so.
I think they're just as good as the Braves. I mean, not the Braves, the Brewers. I think just as good as the Brewers. Even with the additions the Brewers made, their pitching staff is still not that great. It's still not a good pitching staff.
Yeah. I think Matt Garza is still like one of their aces. So yeah,
I mean, they got Zach Davies. He's a decent pitcher, but he's not going to be an all-star anytime soon. I mean, their pitching staff is just not. They got Corey Knebel in the bullpen, but nobody else other than him. So they're in the same position as the Pirates, even though they spent about $20 million more. And, you know, so maybe they're the Cardinals, you know, but the Cardinals have also been disappointing the past 2 years, just like the Pirates have, although they're disappointing for the Cardinals is still at least 81 wins. The Pirates, they can contend. The biggest thing for the Pirates is for the guys that should, if the guys play to how they should be playing. If Polanco doesn't get hurt constantly, and I know people are out there already labeling Polanco a bust. He's only 25 years old. You can't label him a bust yet. All right, you can't. He's 25 years old. Prime age for baseball is 28 to 32. Those are the prime years of baseball. Polanco's still got 3 years left before he's in the prime age for baseball. Marte stays for a full year. He's that's a huge addition right there. Marte's there for a whole year. That is from 2012 to 2015. I'm sorry, maybe it was 2013 to 2016. There were two players in baseball that were worth at least 7 wins above replacement for those 4 years. The one is Mike Trout, who I don't think anybody will argue against him being by far the best player in baseball.
Yeah, by far.
The other one was Starling Marte.
Mm.
So by WAR, with wins above replacement, those were the two most valuable players in baseball. If Marte can get back up to that level, that is a huge addition. That replaces the loss of Kutch, or at least the MVP Kutch. Corey Dickerson is a good replacement for the loss of Kutch this past year.
I agree.
You look at their top five in their lineup. It's going to be Josh Harrison leading off, Josh Bell most likely batting second. Third will be Marte. Fourth will be Corey Dickerson. Fifth is Gregory Polanco. That is a strong 1-2-3-4-5. That is a very strong one, especially if those guys play to their potential. That is a very strong 1-2-3-4-5.
I've heard that with this new addition of Corey Dickerson, it wouldn't be surprising to see Josh Harrison go now. There's been a couple rumors about how the Pirates are going to try to shop him now soon.
I don't think anybody wants Josh Harrison.
And that's one of the problems.
I got an argument with our sports editor Samuel Anthony about this, because he said that Josh Harrison will net a bigger return than Garrett Cole will. First of all, that's just absolutely ridiculous.
I think
that's just absolutely ridiculous.
What is Sam thinking?
Yeah, I don't know how you. First of all, Garrett Cole is cheaper. He's younger. He's 26 years old. He's a starting pitcher. Josh Harrison is a 32-year-old second baseman. All right, and which in a very deep position. Starting pitching is never going to be deep. All right, you're always going to need at least 5 starting pitchers. You only need 1 second baseman for every team. You need 5 starting pitchers for every team. So that's just a ridiculous statement. Now, as far as it goes, though, I don't think anybody wants Josh Harrison, because you look at these other guys. You know, the Twins have tried to trade Brian Dozier the past couple of years. Dozier is a much better player than Josh Harrison is. I mean, just look at the numbers. Dozier is a 2020 guy, could bat 300. You know, if he was on the right team, he could even be an MVP candidate.
Honestly, yes.
Josh Harrison's value is mostly in the fact that he can play multiple positions, which, again, is not great for a guy that's 32 years old and is worth about $12 million. You know, he's 30 years old, about $12 million. So I don't know if Harrison will get traded. I don't think they would have. I don't know. It seems very counterproductive to trade for Corey Dickerson and then trade away Josh Harrison. Now, they have Adam Frazier, who I think...
It's basically a Josh Harrison.
Exactly. It's a cheaper version of Josh Harrison, essentially. But again, I think it's very counterproductive to trade for Corey Dickerson and then trade away Josh Harrison. That's just my opinion, though. I mean, maybe Huntington sees something differently. I think now I can see why he traded away McCutchen this year, because he was able to get Corey Dickerson. Of course, who would have thought that the Rays would designate an all-star for assignment? That just doesn't make any sense.
Makes you wonder why. Why?
Because the Rays are cheaper than the Pirates.
Did the Rays sign Carlos Gomez?
They did, but for $4 million. So they saved about $2 million. But when they got back Daniel Hudson's $5.5 million contract, and they're taking his whole contract, and the Pirates are sending them a little bit of money, but about $500,000.
I think it was $1 million I saw.
Yeah, so the Rays aren't saving that much money. They aren't saving that much money. Thank you all for joining us again. This is Sports with Carney. I'm doing an episode with Matt Kurtick. Ooh.
There you go. Kurtick today.
Matt, on my other show, The Tool Shed. You can check that out on Tuesdays at 7:15. Also with Luke Yost, where we talk more Morris basketball. We got big episode coming up. We're going to do a 1-hour playoff special on Tuesday, so be sure to check out that show. But right now we're talking Pirate Talk. And Matt, so we're looking at this team now. Assuming they don't make any additions, what is your prediction for the Pirates? Predicting record is going to be difficult, but do you think this team will be above 500? Do you think this team will be in playoff contention?
I think it just depends on how everything works out this year. If Polanco can stay healthy for maybe the first time ever in one season and not miss too many games due to injury. The Pirates looking like a team that could finish 500, but, you know, it only takes one or two things to go wrong for the Pirates to finish under 500. I was talking to a couple people that think the Pirates are going to lose 100 games. And I'm like, how do you even think that?
Yeah, they're not going to lose. They don't look – if you think that they're worse than they were last year, then that's just wrong.
Yeah, I mean
they have a lot more depth than they did last year. But the thing that needs to happen, yes, they need Polanco to be healthy. But they have a lot more outfield depth than they did at this point last year, which that's the thing that might be the most annoying thing of the offseason is the fact that last year they were obviously trying to contend and that they didn't sign any depth when they needed depth at third base and outfield with Jung Ho Kang and Marte gone. This year, they're in that sort of, are we rebuilding or are we contention mode? And they've been signing depth like crazy. I mean, how many outfielders do they have at this point? How many major league outfielders did they sign to minor league deals at this point for depth? You know, Michael Saunders, Daniel Nava, there's just two at the top of my head. And that's not even including the guys they already have. And that's not even including, you know, trading for Corey Dickerson.
I know. It makes you think that Austin Meadows is not coming up to the majors anytime soon.
I think he'll be. I don't know about that. I think he'll be up this year because Dickerson's only there for 1 year. They're not going to re-up Dickerson because Dickerson's going to be worth at least $10 million when he goes to free agency, and the Pirates are too cheap to spend $10 million on Dickerson when they have Austin Meadows.
We'll see how he does this year, and then we can make a decision
based on that. The thing that needs to happen for the Pirates this year, the big key for this regular season is the starting rotation, and I'll tell you why. Their starting rotation right now is going to be Jameson Taillon, Ivan Nova, Trevor Williams, Chad Cole, and most likely maybe Tyler Glasnow is the fifth spot. I mean,
did you say Trevor Williams?
Trevor Williams, yeah. They got Tyler Glasnow. They got trying to think of some of the guys. Mitch Keller will be up midseason. You know, they have a lot of young talent in that rotation. If the young talent plays to their potential, or at least plays how people expect them to play. The MLB experts and scouts all expect them to play. Then this Pirates team will be in contention. They won't be good enough to win the division. They won't. Again, they're going to need the Cubs to struggle to win the division. They're not going to be a team that's going to win. I don't think they're going to win 90 games. If this rotation figures things out, because I think the bullpen is just way too weak. That is just a very weak bullpen outside of Rivero.
Yeah,
as far as the rotation goes, though, if this rotation, you know, if it plays how people expect them to, if they play up to their potential, which, again, I think is still a big question mark, then I can see them sneaking in with a wild card appearance. I can. It'll be interesting to see what happens this season. Is, you know, a lot of people have already abandoned the team, but this Dickerson team, this Dickerson move does give me hope. It does. And Matt, I'm sure you would agree with me on that. This Dickerson move does give me hope. It's the first move that they've done. Really, it's, in my opinion, this Dickerson trade is the best move that they've done the past three offseasons. Before the 2015 offseason, I thought was phenomenal. A phenomenal offseason by the Pirates. When they got Burnett back, they got Gong, who, you know, for that 2015 season was really good. The past 2 years, not really.
If he, you know, learned how to stay out of trouble.
Yeah. They got Gong. Who else did they get that offseason? Sean Rodriguez had that great year.
They had David Freeze that year. Is that the year after they got David Freeze?
And they got David Freeze before 2016.
I like that. I like the Pirates getting David Freeze personally. But in the first place.
Yeah. I mean, the 2015 offseason was great, but I still think this Dickerson move is the best move that they've made. Now the Melanson trade might have been the best move that they made to get Felipe Rivera. As much as I criticized that trade at the time, but
yeah, he turned into one of the best relievers in Major League.
Yeah,
baseball.
Rivera has potential to be one of the top closers.
That's the problem. The Pirates' rotation is, like you said earlier, the problem with the team this year. I'm not too concerned about how they're going to hit because I think that good pieces. But
I don't think they're a problem per se. I just think they're a big question mark.
Yeah, exactly.
I think we know the lineup's going to improve. I think we expect the lineup to improve. I think we expect the bullpen to be garbage, for lack of a better term, the way it looks now, because it looks like garbage outside of Rivero. The rotation can either be really, really good or really, really bad. or average. It could be any three of those.
Yeah, I mean, every starter had above a 4 ERA last year. So,
but all of them showed potential at one point or another.
Yeah.
They all had good stretches. They all had good time.
Except for Tyler Glasnow. I don't think he showed any sort of potential the entire year. I know that he's
a great
pitcher.
Except AAA.
I know he's a great pitcher, but he showed no promise at all.
Glasnow is something that somebody that really the Pirates really are counting on.
Yeah, he needs to definitely play well in order for the Pirates to be a contender.
We're approaching the 20-minute mark in Sports with Carney. Thank you again for joining us. This is Logan Carney here with Matt Kurtick, joining me in the radio room today on Sports with Carney, our third episode of Season 2 as we discuss Pirates because they've had a very big day today. Well, big for their standards. In trading for Corey Dickerson. Yeah,
bid for the Yankees is acquiring Giancarlo Stanton. Bid for the Pirates is acquiring Corey Dickerson.
So the Pirates, you know, they look like a very average team. It'll be interesting to see really how this team does. I mean, they look to be painfully average right now. And that looks like that might be the case for the next 2 years, but if these young players, you know, pan out like the Pirate and everyone expects them to, you know, Josh Bell, Austin Meadows, Jameson Taillon, Tyler Glasnow, Trevor Williams, Mitch Keller, if these guys pan out like they can be one of the better, Felipe Rivera, this Pirates team can be really good. And I would say, if I'm going to say the next time the Pirates are in contention for a division title, like they were in the 2013 to 2015 years, I'm going to predict 2020. I'm going to say 2020.
Think the 2020 season?
2020 season. They'll still have Marte.
That's our year?
I'm not going to say it's our year. I'm just going to say the next great Pirates team that we will see will be 2020. I think these next 2 years, they're going to be a very average team, very painfully average team.
Yeah.
And as long as they don't, you know, commit to a full-on fire sale next year, I wish they did that this year. I really wish they did that this year, just so that they will be even
clean
set
house.
Up. So they'll be set up better for 2020.
But
as long as they don't commit to a full-on fire sale next year, because that'll be 1 year too late, then I think this 2020 team can be very good with Josh Bell, who I think is going to be a star. Austin Meadows has a lot of potential if he comes up and does good. Now, if they all come up and they're busts, then this team's going to be bad for a while.
Yeah, unfortunately.
But I'm sure a few of them may bust out and flame out, but to expect all of them to is very unlikely, especially with how some of these guys have turned out under the Huntington era. So we're gonna take a little bit of a sidetrack today, and we're gonna discuss an interesting rule change that was proposed, or at least discussed by the MLB, in which
I think it shapes it up a little bit if they would ever decide to do it.
In which the ninth inning, the manager can decide who can come to bat, similar to how a manager in basketball or coach in basketball can decide who takes the final shot.
Yeah.
Now, Matt, what you said, you like how it might shake things up a little bit. Let's give your thoughts on the whole matter.
I'm a baseball traditionalist, so I personally wouldn't like to see it happen because, you know, if you're for some reason you're pitching a perfect game and you come into the ninth inning, you're supposed to have the 7, 8, 9 batters up. And then all of a sudden you're playing the Yankees and you have to face Sanchez, Stanton, and Judge. How unfair is that for a pitcher? You know, you're pitching one of the best games of your entire life, and then you have to end the game facing maybe three of the deadliest hitters in all of baseball. But it definitely makes it interesting because you made the same point. You know, in basketball, the Cleveland Cavaliers can, you know, put LeBron James out there in the final minutes of every game, and he can make the shot or, you know, do whatever he has to do to win the game for his team. And in baseball, you see this weird thing that happens when the best players aren't necessarily on the field when the game matters. So I think it's a cool idea, and I think that you can maybe run with it and do some sort of change in baseball where maybe in any time during the game you can substitute out one batter and put in a batter. And so, like, in the bottom of the seventh inning, you have bases loaded with two outs. Maybe you can put in Marte up to bat instead of, you know, Adam Frazier, you know. But it's definitely an interesting concept and something that people would hate to see it implemented, like traditionalists like me, but really could shape up the game of baseball.
Yeah, I think it might make things a little bit too confusing.
I agree.
Per se.
Even thinking about it right now and talking about it.
Yeah, because like the ninth inning, like if you have the lead, let's say the Pirates for God willing have a lead in the ninth inning.
Yeah. Okay.
And they are playing the Yankees, and you expect, you're like, okay, well, we got, you know, there's 7, 8, 9 guys coming up. You know, we'll get these guys out, and all of a sudden you see Aaron Judge walk to the batter's box, followed by Giancarlo Stanton, you know, followed by Gary Sanchez. I mean, yeah. You know, home run after home run after home run, and all of a sudden it's a tied ball game. You know, and then what happens if the score is tied?
Yeah.
Are you not allowed to put your own guys in? Are you going back to how it would have been in the order? You know, it just seems to me it'll make things a lot more confusing. So personally, I don't think it will be a very good idea, because I think it'll make things a little bit more confusing. I understand, you know, when the best player is up to bat in the ninth inning of a ball game, it is 10 times more exciting than if Jordy Mercer grabbed a bat and went to bat in the ball game.
Hey, don't talk bad about.
But
Jordy
if you
Mercer.
Take away those moments, if you take away those guys, you know, when one of those players who you know don't get to make those big hits often. You know, I think back to Michael McHenry, who's had a couple big home runs with the Pirates whenever he played for the Pirates. Michael McHenry was not a good player.
No, and we would never put him up in a situation where it mattered.
Yeah,
like that.
But he had some big hits, and they were extremely exciting, and they're memorable. When those guys that are you know, 7, 8, 9 hitters, or 6, 7, 8 for National League hitters, you know, and they make a big hit to win a ball game or tie the score up, it's just a memorable moment. You're taking away chances from those guys. So you perhaps maybe become a next star in the MLB, you know, because those moments are what skyrocket. You know, you think back to the right fielder for Los Angeles, Yasiel Puig, who, you know, first year he comes up and he dominates. You know, as a guy comes out of nowhere, dominates. But you know, reality is he's not a great baseball player. He's not a bad baseball player, but he definitely has not played as good as he did right away.
Yeah.
Yet he's a star because of those big hits that he made that first year. You know, and if the Dodgers were only able to bat Adrian Gonzalez and Carl Crawford that year and Andre Ethier, I'm trying to think of all the Dodgers on that team. You know, maybe those moments don't happen. I don't think Matt Kemp was on that team.
That was after Matt Kemp.
He might have been on that team. That's an interesting question. I don't think he was there when Puig came up, though.
No, I agree with you. One of the things that stands out to me, you're talking about, you know, ruining your big chance to make a name for yourself. I think of when Verlander was throwing, was it a no-hitter against the Pirates? We were out in Detroit, and Josh Harrison, young little Josh Harrison with no beard, none of that swag he had yet, comes up and gets a base hit up the middle. And, you know, from there, I think people knew Josh Harrison's name. But if he doesn't get that chance, if we bring up, you know, Andrew McCutchen in the ninth inning, he probably strikes out, because Andrew McCutchen did that a lot when games mattered. We might not know Josh Harrison as we do now.
Disagree on that.
It seemed like that, though, with Andrew McCutchen.
I can think back to a couple walk-off home runs.
Yeah, I mean, everyone hits walk-off home runs. Like,
well, not everyone.
If you're in Andrew McCutchen's position.
Not everyone, but, you know, you continue talking.
But, no, I agree with that, you know, by limiting yourself only to play the best players in games that matter kind of takes away, you know, that factor of, you know, well, let's see if Jordy Mercer can, you know, win this game for us.
Plus, another thing is, you know, if you do that roll in, all of a sudden it doesn't become about who has the best overall team. It becomes about who has the best, you know, three players.
Yeah.
You know, the Yankees, they may not have the best team in baseball right now. Definitely up there. They may not have the best team in baseball. They don't have a better team than the Astros or the Indians, on my opinion. That's just my opinion, or maybe even the Cubs. But all of a sudden, you know, they already have a great closer in Chapman, and all of a sudden they have, you know, arguably the three best power hitters in baseball right now. And now they're going to win every game because you put this role in where they can just do it. And that's why I don't like the NBA. I honestly think the NBA is a joke. I think it's a joke, like straight up joke. You know, when people say, "Oh, the NBA is best sport," I go, "Ha ha ha," because that's funny.
I think it
you know
is.
because you have these star players, and yes, the MLB has its problems with star players going to big markets and teaming up, and that is a problem. But you don't see those teams win every single year. You see the underdogs come in. The NBA has no chance of an underdog. You're never going to see an 8 seed win. You're never going to see an 8 seed upset the Warriors. You're never going to see an 8 seed upset the Cavaliers. It's always going to be LeBron versus the Warriors. It's always going to be. Even this year when the Cavaliers were struggling, they're like, "Oh yeah, Cavaliers aren't going to make the playoffs with how LeBron's playing." Are you serious? Are you serious? You say this every year. You say this every single year, and they're still in the finals because you run out of things to talk about. Because you know the NBA is a joke. Because you know it's a two-team league. Because maybe even add the Spurs in. Okay, three teams.
Yeah.
You know you can't add anybody in the East. You know I'm a Celtics fan. I like the Celtics. I think the Celtics have a great team. I'm not picking them above the Cavs,
especially without
Gordon Hayward. You know, and you think about it. You know that's why I think the NBA is a joke. You know, when star players in the MLB team up, you still have a chance for upsets. Because just because the star players go somewhere, it doesn't necessarily make them the best team. You get 2-3 stars in the NBA to team up, it's over. Game's over. You're not going to win.
It's just the nature of the sport.
Yeah, and I think it's a joke. And I think if you make this rule where you can have the top 3 star players bat in the ninth, and regardless of what the situation is, if you just because you're down, it's going to turn into the NBA. And the playoffs are going to get less exciting. The games are going to get less exciting because you know who's going to win. You know, I know who's going to be in the finals. You know who's going to be in the NBA finals. We all know who's going to be in the NBA finals because the NBA is so predictable. It's extremely predictable because of these star players going to team up, and that takes away from the overall product. If the MLB switches to this role, the MLB is going to become way more predictable than it already is. That's why I think the Stanley Cup is one of the best playoffs. Because even though star players like Crosby and Malkin have been together forever, how many years do we see the Penguins get bounced early?
Yeah, you see it a lot all the
time. During the Bauzma era. They finally got a great coach. Now they're playing how they should have been playing for a long time. But how many times do we see the Penguins bounce early when they should have been playing? How many times have we seen, the Kansas City Royals won the World Series as a wild card team? Giants won a World Series as a wild card team. Cubs made it to the NLDS as a wild card team, NLCS as a wild card team. Of course, the Cubs were still the Cubs that year, but still, they were a wild card team.
Yeah.
Mets weren't the ones. How many times have we seen the top? I mean, outside of maybe this year, when both of the one seeds made it to the World Series, in the year prior when the Cubs won the World Series, how many times have we seen the one seeds go all the way?
Yeah, you don't see
it's
it too
not
much.
Often.
Yeah, you don't see it too much with the MLB.
And I think if we add these three players, being able to do that. Yes, it will add excitement at first. I am not denying that it won't add excitement at first. It'll be an interesting twist. But I think eventually it'll come to the point where owners are going to be like, okay, we just need the top three players. We don't need as much depth. We just need the top three players in the game. We'll put some money towards them. We'll wave our, Steinbrenners over there. We'll wave our $30 million a year checks at their faces, and they'll come to the pinstripes, and they'll shave their beards, and then they'll hit 40 home runs for us. And if we're losing, well, great, we can just put the top three players up the bat in the ninth inning, and we won. Game over.
Yeah. It makes pitching in the American League even harder. But you brought up an interesting point with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Every year, it's like, oh, the Cavs are going to make it. Oh, they look terrible this year.
Same thing with the Heat.
I think it's the same thing with the Pittsburgh Penguins. The Penguins got off to a terrible start this year, and everyone's like, the Penguins suck. But
in the Stanley Cup playoff, we have seen 8 seeds win. The LA Kings were an 8 seed when they won. Nobody expected them to win. The Penguins got upset for years under Bauzma. After they won that first cup, there were so many years they underperformed with Bauzma. And that's the thing that stands out. That's why the Stanley Cup, as much as I don't like hockey, and I'm not a hockey fan.
Neither am I.
I am not. But you cannot ignore the fact that their playoffs are 10 times better than the NBA playoffs. Because the NBA playoffs, up till the finals, which is incredibly exciting. Don't get me wrong. The NBA finals are awesome. But up until then, it's a joke. Who cares about the 4-5 matchup? Because you know for a fact that neither one of those teams are going to make it all the way.
That's true.
Who cares about it? Who cares about the 3-6? It's as sad when the 3-seed, you go into the playoffs knowing that they don't stand a chance. The 3-seed.
Yeah.
It's sad when you look at the East and you're like, the Celtics are the 1-seed and you don't give them a chance to get out of the playoffs. You know LeBron's going to win. It's sad. And that's why the MLB playoffs and the Stanley Cup playoffs are much better. In the NFL playoffs, too. The NFL, sometimes, it will usually fluctuate. The NFL is kind of in the middle of that,
where a top team will make it, will usually win, but then we can also see underdogs this year. But it's not like the NBA where it's just so predictable. You know, the people that bet on the NBA make so much money because it's the most predictable league. You don't need a crystal ball to see who's going to win the NBA Finals. You need a crystal ball to predict who's going to win the MLB. You know, you don't need the octopus that points his arms on during the FIFA World Cups. I don't know if you know what octopus I'm talking about. That slips over the thing. You don't need that to determine who's going to win the FIFA World Cup because the FIFA World Cup is exciting. That's what makes these tournaments exciting because they're unpredictable. The NBA playoffs is extremely predictable. And that's what I don't want the MLB to become. And I think if the MLB adopts this rule, the MLB will become that.
No, that's a good point. Honestly, it is. That is a big problem with, you know, leagues like the NBA and stuff like that is that, you know, the best players actually help you win every single game. In baseball, if you sign Clayton Kershaw to a 5-year deal and he's playing on your team, he can't win you a game every day. He can win you a game every 5 days, maybe. But he could pitch for – he could give up zero runs, and he can still not get you a win. And that's – you know, but it's also the nature of the sport. And, like, whenever you play baseball, the worst team can beat the best team, and it happens, you know, a lot. When the Pirates were absolutely terrible, they still won, you know, like
– 60 games.
Yeah, they still won over 55
when you lose
games.
100 – even when you're the worst team in baseball, you lose over 100 games, you still win over 50.
Yeah, and you're still going to beat the team that is going to win the World Series most likely. But that's just the nature of baseball, and you know you could be a terrible team and still win. In the NBA and NHL, kind of, you know, the best players usually will play on the best teams, and that's.
I don't know about the. I may disagree with you in the NHL. I mean, we've seen teams that weren't the one seed. I mean, the Penguins weren't the one seed last year, and they won the Stanley Cup, and they weren't the one seed the year before, and they won the Stanley Cup.
Yeah,
you know, in the NBA. It's going to be the Cavs, and it's going to be the Warriors. And we know that. We don't know if the Penguins are going to repeat because it's too difficult in this in hockey. It's too difficult in the MLB. You know, it's too difficult in the NFL. It's too easy in the NBA when you're one of those teams. You know, will the 8 seeds – I don't even know who would be the 8 seed in the West this year. But I'm going to look that up right now.
Yeah, the NBA, though – they did make a little bit of better changes going into this upcoming season with the Rockets getting better with Chris Paul and James Harden. That's nice to see. And then the Celtics also got a lot better.
The Rockets would actually be the one seed right now if the playoffs come.
Let me
ask you these questions, all right? How confident are you that the Pelicans can beat the Rockets in a 7-game series?
How confident? I'm not confident because they lost. Well, they lost
percentage-wise.
I give it a 10% because they lost to DeMarcus Cousins. If they don't lose to DeMarcus Cousins, I have a strong feeling.
Well, I'm talking about right now, though.
Yeah, well, I'm just
Trailblazers, Warriors. How confident are you that the Warriors will beat the Trailblazers?
I'm only 75% sure.
How confident are you that the Spurs will beat the Nuggets?
I honestly think the Nuggets will win.
You think the Nuggets will upset the Spurs?
I literally think
Greg Popovich.
I think that the Nuggets
they'll
will beat
Greg
the Spurs.
Popovich.
I don't even think the Spurs are good anymore, in my opinion. The Spurs, like, are obviously good. They win, but like, I don't even know anybody except for Leonard, who isn't playing, and I don't think he's going to play for the rest of the season.
How confident are you that the Raptors will beat the Heat?
Pretty confident. DeMar DeRozan's great.
How confident are you that the Celtics will beat the 76ers?
They're going to beat the 76ers.
How confident are you that the Cavaliers will beat the Bucks?
Giannis is pretty good, man.
How confident are you that the Cavaliers will beat the Bucks? You see my point, though? You see my point? You go into those playoffs knowing. And then we'll even go further. How do you think that you, up until the championships of the conference, up until the conference championships, do you think you'll see any good series? Because we'll assume the higher seeds win, like they usually do. The Rockets would take on most likely, it would be the Timberwolves. The Warriors will take on the Spurs. Do you think that there's a chance that it's not a Warriors-Rockets conference finals?
I think that that's what it's going to be, yeah. That's
yeah, exactly. So the Raptors-Wizards.
I don't know. The Wizards are really good. They have a really good... they have really good guards.
It can maybe even be Raptors-Pacers if the Pacers pass the Wizards.
If Victor Oladipo doesn't play out of his mind, the Pacers are literally nothing, so they're irrelevant to me.
They're the fifth seed in the East.
I know.
That's the problem. It's a joke. The NBA is a joke of a league when it gets to playoff time. I could care less what happens in the regular season because I know it's going to be LeBron versus the Warriors, all right? And if the Raptors or the Celtics get out of the East, that'd be phenomenal. If the Rockets get out of the West, that would be phenomenal. And I would take back everything that I say.
Thank God.
But it's not going to happen. So I don't have to worry about that.
The NBA, it does suck that, you know, teams like the Warriors are going to, you know, win every single game. There's nothing you can do about it. But I think the NBA is a little bit different this year than it was last year. In terms of, like, there are a couple teams in the lead this year that you could see upsetting the Warriors or the Cavs. The Cavs did get a lot better, though, during that whole entire trading with literally every team in the NBA, getting different players and sending Isaiah Thomas to the Lakers, which I love because I'm a Lakers fan. And
He's not good anymore, so.
Isaiah Thomas was one of the best players in the NBA last year.
Yeah, last year. I'm a Celtics fan.
He needs to be on a team where he can be himself and not have to play up to LeBron.
Congratulations. You got bomb Isaiah Thomas. Congrats. How do you feel?
I am happy. I love Isaiah Thomas. I love that
your
he's
team's
short. Going
to be bad for the next 5 years with the Ball family reaping the pockets of the Lakers.
I know. I like Lonzo, though, so I don't have a problem with Lonzo. His dad's annoying, but I think his dad's funny, in my opinion. He mates his kids' money, so how bad can he be?
Have you read his comments?
I love it. More teams need guys like LeVar Ball destroying everything. There needs to be a LeVar Ball for the Utah Jazz, and I will love the Utah Jazz then.
We are approaching the 42-minute mark of our show. In a couple of minutes, we're going to have a Ian Kissed Rant, our new show. I don't even know what you call it. Segment.
Segment.
Our show segment of Ian Kiss Rant. We're gonna have that in a couple of minutes. And until then, though, this is Sports with Carney, Logan Carney, and joined with Matt Kurtick in the radio room. And we're talking right now of why I think the NBA is a joke of a league in terms of competition. And look, we're gonna be joined in right now. Ian Kiss is gonna be joined in. He's gonna have his weekly rants and. We're gonna be right back after this, so don't go anywhere. We got the Ian Kissed weekly rant coming up in just a couple seconds, so stay tuned. To Sports with Carney with Logan Carney, Matt Kurtick in the studio. I hope you like Ian's new theme song, So Much Things to Say by Bob Marley's. This first thing that popped up my phone, but it's absolutely, I think, perfect for you, Ian. Joining us in the studio right now for his weekly segment, Ian's Rants,
But I think we're just going to call it So Much Things to Say for now on. So joining us for So Much Things to Say with Ian's Kiss. Ian Kissed. Ian, what do you have to say this week?
All right, so first things first, Kevin Stallings, I still don't like you. Okay, moving on. So today I was in a field production class. Probably shouldn't have been on my phone. Oh, no, we were doing a quiz. It was fine. I took the quiz, turned it in. So I got this notification because I didn't watch the women's hockey game last night for the gold medal match because Ian was tired, so Ian went to bed. So I got a notification that Jocelyn LaRocque, I think that's how you pronounce her last name,
Who cares?
Took off her silver medal immediately after they put it on her. So I was saying to myself, thinking, oh, Canada. Like, that is literally the most disrespectful thing. Now, I'm gonna propose you guys a question. Is the most disrespectful thing to do? You didn't get blown out. You lost in round six of a shootout. Which, by the way, we can even discuss this. Maybe should a medal game be decided on a shootout? Or they should be sudden death like the NHL does in the playoffs and whatever. It's probably international rules, so we'll just move on. So I just think that's the most disrespectful thing you can do. It right there speaks out, sore loser. You got beat. You got beat. You were coming in. I think the Canadians had a 5-game winning streak against the Americans in women's hockey coming in. A team, but other than that, the matchups in the world championships and everything were pretty close. It's always the U.S. and Canada. So to me, that was, I was like, you know what, I don't want you being a part of a national team when you're going to literally take it off. Yeah, you can be upset, but leave it on. Like, show some respect to winning the silver medal. It could have been worse. Could have been the bronze. But, yeah, that was the thing that got to me the most. Also, was the free skier, the skier in the half pipe last night for the men's, who just decided just to stroll down on his second or third trial run because he mouthed the words I did my best in his first run, but to me, like, at least show a little effort. Don't just, I mean, you can always get better. So I also grind my gears a little bit. And Lindsey Vonn, how do you miss a gate? Come on. How do you miss a gate? You literally so much hope for you to come and win a gold medal in a comeback. Sean White had a comeback. You couldn't have a comeback. So, but great Olympic career. But one question I want to propose to you guys. Now, is silver and bronze medal, do you consider them participation medals?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Well, that is a good question. I'm gonna say, I'm gonna answer that question with another question.
Okay.
Okay, I can't wait.
What does the runner up in the World Series get?
Exactly my point. Nothing.
What does the runner up in the Stanley Cup Finals get?
Nothing.
What does the runner up in the Super Bowl get? What does the runner up in the NBA Finals get? I mean, I can go on and on and on. What does the runner-up in the World Cup get? Nobody cares.
Yet in the Olympics, you reward the third and second place teams.
Okay, here's the thing. If I understand in sports or like in figure skating, you have the first, second, and third people. I think that you should get medals for that. But in terms of team sports, so mm-hmm. we're talking about like Olympic basketball or Olympic hockey, it's like any other sport. If you don't win the entire thing, then you lost.
Yeah, I think it's different because, we talk about the NBA, the NHL. I mean, I just made this comparison, the MLB, all that stuff, mm-hmm. but there's only 32 teams. How many countries are there in the Olympics? Obviously some of these sports don't have, every single competition. But most of these, they're competing against, hundreds of other people. In a lot of these sports. So I think in that case, yes, I think coming in second or third in something like that, while obviously it'll be disappointing for that for those particular athletes, but I still think you should award something because then again, you beat like over 100 other people.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of like skiing or speed skating, you're racing against a time. You're trying to beat your best time. So as long as you get the time that you want and you're better, then
times
you,
are what.
But in the sport of hockey or basketball, what is your goal? Your goal isn't to get a time. Your goal is to win. So if you're going to lose, you don't deserve anything because you lost. You were worse than the team. You should get a participation medal basically is what that is. And
I think in the Olympics case, I think it has an excuse to be different in this regard. Personally, I hate the idea of participation anything.
Yeah.
I think if you're the best, you deserve a trophy. If you win, you deserve a trophy. If you lose, you don't. But in the Olympics case, you beat like 100 other people. Like I said, those individual sports especially,
yeah,
you beat like 100 other people.
You see, I get the team sports silver because you came in second, but to have your own separate bronze medal game is, I think, a little of a stretch. I do agree, individuals, top three, best times, you get a medal. I think see the reasoning of separating how medals are distributed based off of individual and team sports.
This is a good question for Sports Talk in the Berg, if we can get that on. Speaking of which, Sports Talk in the Berg, tune in Wednesdays at 5. Every other Wednesdays at 5, so it'll be on this week at 5 with me, Ian Kist, and Matthew Simkovic Jr.
who
doesn't like to be called Junior, but we call him Junior anyway.
We'll start calling him Junior.
I like the bronze medal game, in my opinion, because yeah, you get a medal for winning a game.
Yeah.
If you get a silver medal, which is better than a bronze medal, for losing.
Yeah, you literally get a silver medal for losing.
Yeah. But chances are you beat the team that won the bronze medal, though.
Yeah.
I feel like getting a bronze medal in the Olympics might be more rewarding than getting a silver medal. Because a silver,
in team sports.
I think even just
but like individual, you had your second best time, and the bronze was the third best time. So silver clearly was better than bronze. But in hockey, for example, you lost to the gold, so you get the silver. Where actually the bronze, you had to win.
So do you think after the gold medal game, you think there should be
a separate silver medal
game?
Possibly.
Between the winner of the bronze medal game and the loser of that?
I think that's the best way to solve this issue.
Yeah.
We're talking about.
But what happens if? Let's say U.S. beats Canada in the semifinals and goes on to win the gold medal. Or goes on to lose in the gold medal game to, I don't know, Russia.
Yeah.
And Canada wins in the consolation game. All of a sudden, Canada gets what? A second chance against the U.S.?
True.
Is that fair? U.S. already beat Canada.
Yeah.
U.S. already proved that they're better than Canada. Why does Canada get a second chance? Now, if say Norway was playing Canada and Norway wins, I can understand your point and why there should be a separate game. But if U.S. beats Russia, should Norway get a second chance against Russia? You know, is that really fair to the Russian athletes who, you know, hopefully aren't doping and are allowed to participate in the Olympics but played
so
it
bad.
Fairly? But
I, feel so bad for
I don't.
Russian
it's
athletes.
Russia. I don't.
I do.
Yeah, one of their curlers just got busted for
poor
doping.
Poor Putin.
Why are you doping for curling?
Exactly.
Poor Putin. Poor Putin. Oh,
go ride your horse with no shirt on, Putin.
Vladimir Putin doesn't get to spread his political communist propaganda. Oh, poor Vladimir Putin. Oh, he's only the most powerful man in the world, and he doesn't get to spread his message.
here's another question I got for you guys: Should the gold medal and the bronze medal games come down to a shootout?
No,
I think that's absolutely absurd. I think it's ridiculous.
Both teams fought hard, and you lose on a shootout.
I don't think any of the playoffs. I think the round robin games, yes,
yeah,
they should.
Just like regular season.
Exactly,
games.
Regular season hockey. When you get to the playoffs, no, because it doesn't prove who the better overall team
that's
is.
We were just talking about that with baseball and how the best players.
We were just talking
the
about
best
that
players
in baseball.
Won't win you. We were just talking about. I don't know if you heard the new MLB rule change, maybe about how like the best batters could bat in the ninth inning. I don't know if you heard about that
No.
one. But basically goes along with what you said. If the U.S. wins, technically the U.S. has better players then. But they're not.
Yeah.
They might not be a better team. They were the same. They were the same as Canada the entire game, and especially with like an overtime.
They just had. Well, they just had one or two better players, and all of a sudden they're the champion.
And they're not even. They might not even be better players. They might be better at shootouts. There's players
like
in the NHL
Canada,
that are
well,
good at that.
In the Olympics, it's five or at least five rounds. And after the fifth round, you can put whoever you want out there.
Yeah,
well,
TJ Oshie.
Yeah, and like, who do you think Canada always throws out there?
Yeah.
Sidney Crosby. Always. Like, it's always the same guys. Like, TJ Oshie, they kept rolling with them. And, you know what I mean? Like, so you're trying to stop one of the best shooters in the entire world.
Ever.
Like, it's not going to happen. Like,
yeah, so basically Canada isn't winning a gold medal. Sidney Crosby is winning the entire country a gold medal, which is stupid, honestly. And why is it? It should not be set up like that to win the most important medal that you will ever win in your entire life.
Yeah.
You know, I think at this point, though, to go back to your first point, about the medals and it being them participation trophies. I think you do raise a very good question. I wonder if there's any national outlets that discuss that question. But I think what a lot of it is if you don't have that, you're going to see a lack of participation in a lot of those sports. Because all of a sudden, you know, yeah, you know, America, as Americans, we want gold.
Yeah.
And we don't want to see silver. We don't want to see bronze because that's how our culture is. We only root for the best of the best. We if you finish runner up, who cares? That's how we do
it. America.
But you go to a place like, you know, if you go to a place like, I'm trying to think of one of those.
Jamaica, who has a bobsled team?
Jamaica. If
they're going to have a hockey team, though, apparently.
If Jamaica,
they want to have a hockey
Jamaican team. Bobsled team, I think they have a female bobsled team. Yeah. Here. If they get a third, if they get a bronze medal,
that's
that
awesome.
Country's going to go crazy.
Yeah.
You know, if you go to a place, you know, if you go to Sweden and Sweden comes in the silver medal, they're going to go in something. They're going to go crazy about it because, you know, it's much bigger than us here in America because we have the best athletes in a lot of these sports. We do. A lot of the best athletes come here in a lot of those sports. Not all of those sports. Not all of them. But in a lot of them, we do. But in a lot of other, you know, a lot of other countries feel that underdog sense. And for them, those medals are. And if you get rid of that and you make it solely about gold medals, you're going to see a lack of participation. Because why would those countries care if they can't win? Why would a country throw out a basketball team if they're not going to get a silver or a bronze medal in it? Mm-hmm. Because you know America is just going to win because that's where all the best basketball athletes are. That's where the dream teams are. You know, and that's what I think the problem is. I think I think the only reason that's keeping those medals in, those participation trophies in, is that if they remove them, a lot of countries will pull out and don't want to send their athletes there and could care less about the Olympics. I mean, because a lot of those sports, and I know you like the Olympics, Matt. I don't know your opinion personally.
I like the Olympics. I like the Summer Olympics.
Yeah,
better
personally,
than
I could care less about the Olympics. I really don't like any of the sports that are in it. But for a lot of those, you know, for a lot of those sports, they're not popular, you know, when the Olympics aren't on. And I think we could all agree on that. You know, when the Olympics aren't on, you know, no, my main people aren't watching those sports in those Olympics. At least here in America, I don't know how things are in other countries, but at least here in America, that's how it is. And I think if you take away those chances to win a bronze or a silver medal and have countries feel proud of what their athletes done in that sense, then you're going to have people stop caring about it for the Olympics too. And I think that's going to decline in participation in those sports and everything like that. But Ian, I think that is a good question though. I think that is a very good point.
Mm-hmm.
If those are participation trophies, I think it really depends on the culture of the people that win those medals.
Well, it's like the same idea. Like, we don't understand in America what it feels like to not be good at stuff and not win in the Olympics. But you look at, like, in baseball, the Yankees don't win the World Series and they fire their manager. But
yeah.
if the Pirates ever get that far, then, like, we praise Clint Hurdle. So it's like if you don't understand what we're talking about the Olympics, kind of look at it that aspect.
Yeah.
Think about the Pirates.
That's a good point. That is a very good point.
The Pirates are the Jamaican bobsled team of Major League Baseball. And that's kind of how it comes down.
Jamaican bobsled.
Ian, before we go, I just want to ask you a quick question because this was our first about 30 minutes of the show. You know, I raised my off-season grade after the move today. Matt stayed
good
the
move.
Same.
Good move.
You gave them, what, a C?
C minus,
C plus?
Yeah, C plus.
C plus in sports talk?
I think they earned it today.
Do you think you? So do you think you?
They
do you,
stays.
Your stays the
because
same
because it was a generous grade to begin with. So I mean, if I graded them a little lower, maybe I move them up. But I think I think that's for what they got for what they gave. It was a good trade.
All right, and that's going to be our thoughts in the matter. We only have 1 minute left, so we'll just let you play out with my themes
good
on
night,
here.
Good night, Kevin Stallings.
You heard it, Bob Nutting. Ian likes your team, Bob Nutting.
No, I don't like him, but yeah, I mean.
can we please wave bye to Kevin Stallings?
Bye, Kevin Stallings.
Thank you.
All right.
I hope you have nightmares.
Bye, Kevin Stallings. It's been Sports with Carney. Thank you to my guests, Matt Kurtick and Ian Kist. Tune in next time, Thursdays at 7, same time, same channel on RMU Radio, your campus, your voice. Good night, everyone. This has been Sports with Carney.